Thank you for joining me today. Good to see you all. Today I want to share some thoughts on the topic, what difference can I make? We are living in unprecedented times. Besides COVID-19, the issues of discrimination and prejudice are filling the headlines of the newspaper and the news reports, whether it's in regard to same-sex relationships, abortion, race, euthanasia, etc. All these are significant and impact people's lives. There is much being said on these topics through all forms of media. I personally believe the church has a responsibility to start a dialogue, a conversation, firstly amongst our church family, to inform and to educate us on what the Bible actually says on these issues, so we understand what God requires of us, personally and corporately. If we as the church family don't start this conversation, let me be very clear, let me warn us, there is no shortage of other voices out there seeking to influence our thinking and our opinions and to draw us into their radical belief system. I am privileged to meet many people, Christians and non-Christians, and often they like to ask me questions of the issue of the day. I'm more than glad to listen. Yet many Christians hold a viewpoint that is contrary to what Scripture teaches. And when I challenge them, they say, well, that's my opinion. To which I will say, but what is your opinion based on? See, we can't pick a mixed Scripture to fit the popular opinion of the day. The scriptural way is often unpopular in and with those of the world. But Scripture is not going to change. We could define justice as this. Justice is a concept on ethic and law that means that people behave in a way that is fair, equal, and balanced for everyone. We need to be clear on what God expects of his people, of our words and our actions. So what does the Lord require? In Micah 6 verse 8, God clearly answers the question. He has shown all you people what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? The Message paraphrases it like this. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do. God isn't giving us new information. See, what we're about to hear today is constant throughout Scripture. We're going to see something very similar in the teaching of Jesus. This isn't something that's new in Micah. And it's not something that only applied 2,000 plus years ago. This is constant with all of biblical teaching from start to finish. It's consistent. It's simple. It's stated in three simple points. And it gets easier later because Jesus takes those three requirements and simplifies them even further. There shouldn't be any lack of clarity or understanding about what God requires of us. Although these three requirements are simple, I guess that God's people have struggled. It's been a bit hit and miss, as it's recorded in Scripture. In Micah's day, they certainly weren't doing well. There are glimmers of hope here and there. Even today, churches tend to do better at one or maybe two of these requirements, but it's harder to find churches that do all well. What does God require of each of us, personally and corporately today? The first point is to promote justice. Verse 8 says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly. I've always interpreted this on a personal level. The message says, do what is fair and just to your neighbour. It's certainly important to treat others fairly, but this verse goes further. It's not just the idea of treating others right personally. It's the idea of promoting justice. It's a concern for justice in all of society. To work for the right, for right relationships and justice for all. Especially for the most vulnerable amongst us. The issue with justice is how those who have power and privilege treat those who don't. The reason why this is so important is because when you read the Bible, God always takes the side of the poor. God is a God of justice who pleads the cause of the poor and requires his people to do the same. Listen to what God said all the way back in Deuteronomy when he was outlining how his people should live. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 18 says, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Justice is essential, how those of us who have to look after those who don't have. God says, I don't want people who just come to church and worship me. I want them to do something about the unfairness, the injustice in this world. I want them to promote justice for those who don't have any. It's surprising that this is number one on the list. It's not something we normally talk about. After idolatry, defending the poor is the second most prominent theme in the Old Testament. Proverbs 31 verse 8 and 9 says this, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. If this is one of God's non-negotiable requirements, the question is, are we doing this? How much do we speak up for those who are vulnerable in our world? Churches are usually pretty good at charity, of helping those in need. But some traditions say that every act of charity, meeting the basic needs, should be balanced by an act of justice, addressing the cause that led to that need. Charity is showing kindness. Justice is dealing with the root cause that made the charity necessary. We are all aware of the other issues of justice, racism, poverty, unjust laws, etc. We're aware of parts of our city and our region that are in such desperate need. I heard a pastor from Africa once say, a church cannot be surrounded by poverty and not do something about that poverty. I wish I could tell you the solution to all these issues. I can't. The answers aren't easy. I can't tell you the solution, but I can tell you that God requires each of us to do something. God requires his people to promote justice. It's more than wearing a wristband or making a donation, though those things are fine. It should be a value that flows through our entire lives and our ministry as a church. I'm sure as a church in our nation, we are going to have to revisit this theme quite a few times in the years to come. If anybody cares about these issues, it ought to be God's people who share his heart and who have received his love, his mercy and his kindness. What does God require of us? That we work to promote justice in this world. Point two, love mercy. I'm sure you can tell me numerous stories of your personal acts of kindness to people. Maybe buying a sandwich and a hot drink for somebody who is struggling financially who we meet on the street. Maybe it's passing on some school clothes your children have outgrown to a family who are struggling to get uniform for the new school year. I'm sure you have many stories, many acts of kindness. And they would be good examples of the second requirements of following God, to love mercy. Justice is working to address the cause that leads somebody to be out on the street. Mercy is actually helping him when we come across him. I don't always know the best way to show mercy. I've heard some people say, you have to be careful they don't attack you. You have to be careful they don't take advantage of you. And I'm sure you've heard this type of thing. And I'm sure there's some measure of truth in those statements. Yet I want to show mercy. Mercy will often appear as either an opportunity or an inconvenience. I want to love mercy. I want to be prepared to be inconvenienced. It's the same temptation I sometimes face when I meet somebody with a need. God says to love mercy, to give generously. I often used to struggle when I used to give money to people. I used to think, will they spend it to feed their habit on alcohol or drugs or whatever? But the Bible is really clear, and that is we are to give generously. Proverbs 19 verse 17 says this, those who are kind to the poor lend to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? I really find that interesting. We read in Deuteronomy 15 verse 10, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Even when I manage to give generously, I don't always manage to do so without a grudging heart. Loving mercy means that we walk alongside those who suffer, showing faithfulness and generosity and compassion. It actually means loving it, making it something that's what you love to do. Mercy isn't deserved. We should not look at somebody and say, you don't deserve mercy. We give them mercy as freely as it's being given to us. Our third and final point is to walk humbly with God. This is amazing. What I would expect to be number one makes number three on God's list. I don't know that these are given in any particular order, but I would have thought that God would dominate the list. What we normally think of as following God makes the list, but it's dominated by how we treat others. Walk humbly with your God includes all the things we normally think of in our relationship with God. It involves intimacy, cultivating a relationship, staying attentive to God's will, putting ourselves in the secondary position to him. It's about intentionally pursuing Jesus, intentionally looking to grow, looking to be a disciple of Jesus. If we were to ask the average person in our circle what following God is all about, this is what it would be. This is what we normally focus on. God says that it's important. In fact, it's critical. But it's not enough. They aren't ways to earn salvation. They are how he expects us to live, to promote justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. As I said before, Jesus later simplifies this even more, and he tells us the two great commandments: to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. It's essentially the same thing as Micah's list. Jesus also taught a lot on what it means to love our neighbour. If this is a summary of how God expects us to live, we could do a lot worse than to really master these areas. I've been asking myself, how much do I promote justice? Do I care about the issues of justice as they relate to the men and women I see on the streets? Do I ever contact the government when they make decisions that are unjust to people? How much do I love mercy? It's easy to throw the guy a pound or two as I walk past. Do I love mercy though? Does it flow from a heart that's not begrudging or condescending, or from a heart that sees the image of God in that person and who can't wait to share what God has given with them? Am I walking humbly with God? Does my heart reflect God's priorities? Do I see past my own world and see what God cares about? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, grant us a vision of our world as your love would make it. A world where the weak are protected and none go hungry or poor. A world where the benefits of civilized life are shared and everyone can enjoy them. A world where different races and cultures live in tolerance and mutual respect. A world where peace is built with justice and justice is guided by love. And give us the inspiration and courage to build it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. May God bless you as we rise to this challenge. Remember, Jesus is the answer. Amen.